Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today we have with us Deirdre Haid. Deirdre, since her early years in Memphis, Tennessee, has been an artist and a visionary, writing poetry and conversing with the mystical worlds. As a ballet dancer and choreographer recognized by Robert Joffrey, she performed throughout the country and founded the dance ensemble Celebrations to the Sacred. At 16, when her mother was diagnosed with terminal breast cancer, Deirdre discovered the healing power of light, enabling her mother to live 13 years longer than expected. As a founder of Radiance Healing and Meditation, she has guided people worldwide, teaching them to harness their own inner wisdom and healing potential. She is currently writing a story of her life as a modern-day mystic, and she is also the co-author of the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. Deirdre, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, why, thank you, Vicki. I'm just delighted to be here today.
Well, for those that haven't had the opportunity and the pleasure to get to know you yet, could you tell them a little bit about what brought you to your passion and purpose, maybe in a little more detail than what we just covered?
Yes, well, since a very young child in Durham, North Carolina, I started to see angels. I started to see spirits, and they would come visit, and they were very loving and kind and really helped me, and I had a whole relationship with them. I started writing about them, and I started teaching a class on how to talk to your angels when I was in fourth grade, and I still have the little book from the curriculum I wrote. The poet, she introduced me to some wonderful poets, John Beecher, who is there in North Carolina, a great poet, and always went to poetry readings. So I grew up around literature, and I began writing. I loved writing, and I always felt a connection to an unseen world. And it's been my whole life. It really has been my passion because it brings me joy and so much happiness.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Tell us a little bit about how your writing intersects with the work that you do.
Well, I originally started when I was young to speak to these beings because I always wanted to be a writer. And I thought that if I could write and have their words, their thoughts, and their grace, if I could somehow write what I heard from them, then I would have achieved a goal. So when my mother got the breast cancer and they'd given her a year to live, of course I was distraught. And I sat with her in her room, and I used to just write because she would be asleep. And one day, the room filled up with light, and she opened her eyes, and she said, "Do you see that?" And I said, "Do you see that?" And we both said, "Wow, there's a light in this room, and there's no light on." And then this light just came over to my mother and hovered over her and said that she was going to help my mother stay here as long as she wanted to stay here. And that's exactly what happened. I started writing this down, writing these experiences down in journals. And ever since then, whenever I write and what I share with people who are writers and want to write is, you want to just close your eyes and find a warm place inside your heart, a warm light, and call the spirit, whatever the spirit is that you're wanting to invoke. And I go into it kind of in a meditation, and then I begin to hear a voice. I'll hear the first line of the poem, like in the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises, The first poem, the base of the book, is called In the Honey Jars. When I wrote this, I just listened, and a voice came to me, and the voice said, "Am I really alive? Am I really here? I wandered on the stardust to understand the question, to try to know what recollections made had left me here unknown and unseen."
Beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. So tell me, what most inspires you to get creative? Like, you seem to have a lot of inspiration all around you, but is there something that you do that you could share with people that maybe are having difficulty with getting into a creative space?
Oh, absolutely. I have as much difficulty as anybody. You know, in the morning, the phone rings, there's emails. I have two children, and so they're taking care of the children. They're older, but I still have things to do. And life distractions. And to write, one has to get in a very sacred space, in a place where the outside world goes away so you can get the deep and true work. So what I do, I wouldn't say it was inspiration, but what I do is I just have a discipline. I'm going to sit, you know, at my table. I always have something I like to write with. Like, I love writing with the Palomino Blackwing pencil or a fountain pen. I like to write in a nice book. If I really get going, I'll go over to the computer. I'll have books of people that inspire me. Pablo Neruda inspires me. Emily Dickinson inspires me. Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Mark Twain with the Southern flavor. I'll have my books with me, so I have this place. And then the thing that will really help me if I'm having a hard time getting started, I will focus looking out my window in nature. I'll focus on a leaf. I'll focus on a tree. I'll focus on a bird. And I'll really try to put my mind there and say, well, what's that leaf experiencing today? What's that bird's experience like? What's the sky's experience like? And when I do that, going into nature, the voice will start to come.
Oh, that is really a powerful tip for those that are having problems. And we all, as you say, do from time to time with our creativity and our ability to be able to express that. When you first started writing, and this may be really hard for you to remember because you go way back when you first started writing, but what were some of the challenges you faced with at the very beginning, and how did you overcome them?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I had many challenges. Again, I grew up in a family of my mother was a writer. And then as a young woman, when I was in New York dancing, I also took writing classes at the New School for Social Research and their writing department. I also studied at Padua Hills Playwriting Conference out here in L.A. that Sam Shepard and Murray Mednick began. David Heavenly Wong was one of my teachers. My own inner obstacles are my critic. I'm a perfectionist. I have a voice that says, that was horrible. What you wrote right there, that was horrible. And so what I've grappled with is how to get rid of that voice and make it okay just to write something really, really stinky, because I can always just not let anyone see it. So that was my biggest obstacle to writing, is my own self, my own inner critic.
That's so interesting. And, you know, I think, you know, when I first started writing, my inner critic told me that I didn't have a significant enough story to tell. And I'd certainly had many successes. And I don't know if you have advice for people that feel that way. I overcame it and found that everyone has stories to tell. And some of the greatest stories are things that may not seem so significant.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the parable of when I look out the window and I say, what's the experience of a leaf today? What I'd like to say to your audience and to all writers is that there's no story that's insignificant. It's the sensitivity that you bring to what you want to tell, because everything has meaning. There is nothing that exists that does not have meaning. And I say that writing is like having a can opener. So you, the writer, we just open a can to reveal what's there. And there is something in everything. Every story is an important story. I would encourage you to write your story or your poem, to just do it, because stories are healing. When we hear a story, we heal. Part of us heals. We go to movies. There's an alchemy that happens, and it is a spiritual alchemy. It's an alchemy of consciousness. Every story is about consciousness. It doesn't have to, quote, be about consciousness. Let's say it's just Sophie's Choice. I'm talking about the movie now, but a story moves us. You have something to say. One thing I do know for fact, if you in your heart feel, I have a desire to write, you have something to say. You may not know exactly what it is yet because it's in your soul. And as a writer, again, you just put that pen on paper and you just start writing and get out of the way and let your soul say what it needs to say.
Oh, I think that's so beautifully put and so important for people to realize. And I think, too, how your writing impacts others. There may be people in the world that can only be touched by you in a certain way, because the way you tell your story is going to be uniquely different from anyone else in the world. And if you let your story go untold, perhaps that person or those people that need to hear your story will be untouched by that. And their lives won't change where they could have changed. So that's the other side of it, too, that I think is so important.
Absolutely. You are so correct on that.
How do you feel you'd like your books to touch readers?
Well, we put this book together to touch readers. And I just want to answer that, I'd like to tell you just a little bit about how the book came into being.
Absolutely.
I've been working on this autobiographical novel for about 4 years based on my life and my life into coming into a kind of awakening and my mother's passing from cancer and the mystical experiences around that. And I've been writing it, and my husband came to me last February and he said, you know, I don't want you to feel the pressure to finish this book because it's so beautiful. I want it to have time. He said, I'm going to take your poetry and I'm going to take your writings of your spiritual insight and mystical knowledge, and I want to put them together in a book. Do I have your permission? And then he said, but there's one caveat, and that is you don't get to see what I've done until I've put it together. And then, of course, he can edit and do it. But he said, but you need to just get out of my way. And since he made the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, and he has a proven track record of knowing what he's doing, I said, yeah. And that's what he did. I have to tell you that I was blown away at what he chose, like the poem In the Honey Jars, which is a very spiritual poem, and the teachings he brought and the truths. And then I went to work and I edited them. I had to lobby to get some put in and some taken out, you know. So then we got into the high creative, you know, the little tug of war of who gets the final say. In the end, I convinced him that I should have the final say because I was... the writer, and he eventually conceded.
So, oh, my gosh.
So anyway, that's how the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises came about, and it's his title. It was his concept because he said, you know, you turn the page, there's a new surprise. You can read the book through, or you could just read one page at a time, and the photos, it's an art book with an award-winning photographer, Andre Balog. The photos are extraordinary, and every photo is a surprise, too. So that's how the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises got made.
Oh, what a lovely story behind a phenomenal book. Really lovely story. The creativity in your household must just be abounding, bouncing off walls.
Oh, it is. It is bouncing off walls. You can get cyclones in here sometimes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your memoir, because I know it's not released yet, right?
No, it's not released. And I put it down for a bit so I could get some perspective on it. It covers the span of moving to Memphis from Durham immediately after Martin Luther King was shot. And we lived near the Lorraine Motel. And my parents were part of the civil rights movement, and my mother was a poet and a singer, a folk singer. And it's a coming-of-age story in the South during the civil rights, of a young woman who has a mystical gift, meaning she sees these other worlds, and coming from a scientific family, you know, she was kind of made fun of and joked about until my mother got cancer. And then she was like, tell me about these other worlds. And she began to experience what they call my play pretend friends as being very real. So my parents transformed. My mother did eventually pass away. And then I came to California. So that's the first half of the book. One of the reasons I stopped was we were thinking of making it two books. One, that part of the life, and then the next part was really coming into a spiritual awakening, my spiritual journeys to India, to Mount Shasta, the choices I made to choose that over a career, and then meeting in Fiji where I met a personification of the Great Mother, of the new feminine consciousness. And she gave me a name. That's the name of the book. I'm not going to give that out yet. But
okay.
That's the story. And I've had people who've read parts of it have been just gone crazy over it. So that's it. There you have it.
Wow, fantastic. Well, I can't wait until that book comes out. And it will be not so little a surprise too, right?
Yes.
I love it. So when you look at this amazing work that you're putting out into the world that's truly life-changing, if you were to look at it almost like a legacy, I know it's way too early to look at it that way, but if you were to view it from a legacy standpoint, what would you like that to represent for you, your life's work, your life's writings? What would that look like for you?
Thank you for asking that. It would look to me like I left a mark in the world to illuminate, uplift, broaden someone's awareness to the beauty, the grace, and the wonder of our world. And if I do that, then I will have achieved my purpose in my literary work.
Oh, how beautiful. And you're doing that every day already. So that's just so lovely. So I know there are people that will want to connect with you more and be able to access your book that is available now, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. How did they do that and connect with you?
Yes, I'll be glad to share that with you. And I apologize because we're early on and the book came out so fast. We were consolidating the website, so I'll give you two website addresses, but normally it's much better just to do one. To find me, I'm at DeirdreHade.com, and that's DeirdreHade.com. And you can read all about me. I have poems in my writing on my website. And then I also have the book on my website, and to get the book, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises, that goes to Amazon, and that website is bookofsurprises.com. If you go to my website and you just go into the newsletter section, anybody who would like to, we have a beautiful kind of virtual visual ebook that we put together, and I'd love to make that as a gift to you. It's about 10 pages, and the book is 132 pages, but it's really, really special, and I'd love to share that with you, anybody who would like that.
Oh, thank you so much, Deirdre. It's just so lovely how giving you are, and we're so grateful not only for your time, but also really grateful for your generosity in these gifts that, again, can be life-changing. So I hope everyone will visit the website. Can you give the website for the book one more time, please?
Yes, bookofsurprises.com.
Lovely. Thank you so much for being with us, Deirdre.
It was a joy. It was a pleasure. And thank you for your good work and for everyone who's out there living and pursuing your dream. We can do it together.
I love that. And for all of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.